Okay, kids through age 5 can go to class. The rest of you are blessed to stay in here. Amen. Praise God. Oh, dear. I used my smaller font, I just realized, so. Praise you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. God is so good. Just God is so good. Hallelujah. Praise God. I understand where I'm coming from. You probably wouldn't if I couldn't explain it. Okay, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is in the house. Amen. Okay, was preparing, getting ready to prepare a message this week, and I tried 4 different ones, and it just kept coming back to this one. So some of you may remember stuff about this message, and if you do, praise God, hallelujah. And for the rest of you, this is why I'm teaching it, apparently, because the rest of you aren't going to remember what we talked about in the last time I did this. We are going to talk about, you have it as a prayer for the congregation, if we can put that up there. And so I am retitling it the Prayer for Believers, because that's what it's not just limited to praying for the congregation, but it's a prayer that the more I use it, the more I pray it, the stronger I feel about it, the more it means to me. And so that is my goal this morning, that as we go through this, you can, if you don't have a grasp on this yet, you can get more of a grasp on what we're actually speaking in this. And you will start using it, because for me personally, I can see the difference in the congregation, and I believe it's praying this prayer. I can see the changes in individuals, and just as a congregation, I can see it beginning to take effect. So I believe that this is what I'm supposed to share about this morning. So this is what we're going to look at, okay? I believe in, as much as possible to go to the root. That's why I'm not a big fan of counseling, because counseling generally deals with the symptoms, deals with the fruit. If you don't go to the root, you're going to always keep going back and dealing with the fruit. You're going to go, you're going to deal with a symptom, it's going to go away. That's why, the problem with, Western medicine, because Western medicine, for the most part, deals with the fruit, deals with just the symptoms. Doesn't go down to the root, doesn't go down to the core of what's causing the symptoms. And as long as we don't get to the root of things, to the core of things, like that our verses we're talking about, get to the heart of things, we're going to keep dealing with the same thing. It may have variations, but we're just going to keep dealing with the same thing. So I believe with this prayer, when you're praying for people, whether you're praying for yourself or you're praying for other people, interceding for other people, there's a whole lot of ways you can pray. But I believe as you look at this, these portions of scriptures that we have, combined to make up this prayer, if you go and look at this and grasp this, if you pray this, you're praying the root. And if you deal, I don't care what's wrong with someone, if you pray that the root will be changed, all the outward stuff, it'll change. They'll get healed, they'll get delivered, they'll get set free, they'll get into peace, they'll get into joy, they'll start flowing in love. And so that's why I believe these prayers are so important. And you've been here a long time, Wayne used to teach on this, but as we go through and read these, you can read it and I'm going to start reading them in the King James, but then, that was my problem with these. It's always, I would read it, but I couldn't grasp what I was actually praying. So hopefully today, as I talk more about what they're about and different ways of reading them, different translations, you will begin to grasp what I am actually praying when I pray these prayers. Okay, so let's get started. First one is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 through 19. So if you want to look it up, you can. If not, just, write it down. But that's what, we're going to, up on the screen is going to be the versions that that I have made up for that, the prayer congregation that you have. So we're going to just go through this and, just believe that the Holy Spirit is going to open your ears, open the eyes of your heart, open the ears of your heart, that you're going to get new understanding, revelation, everything that we're going to be talking about today, so that you can see the importance and what a life change it can make as you start praying these prayers for yourself and for other Christians. As I've said before, these prayers are for Christians. If you go through, they're in the epistles, and they are Paul, you know, these are all written by Paul, except the last one is Hebrews, and we don't know for sure who wrote the book of Hebrews. But these prayers are what we pray for other Christians, okay? So Ephesians chapter 1, starting verse 17, and this is New King James, says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. And we can say, praise God, hallelujah, amen, okay? But if you're like me, it's like, okay, what exactly did I just read? I'm not real sure about what some of this stuff is talking about, okay? So let's now go through it, and I will read it in the version that is on the screen. And this is the Amplified. This is what I took this, and there is some, it's not exactly the Amplified because I made some changes. When I did it, I personalized it. And since I put, you know, printed it up as praying for the congregation, praying for a group of people, I did the we's. But you can pray, you know, they did it, you know, what is that? Plural, not singular. But you can pray this just for yourself and just change it to singular and make it personal. It's one of the things that I do every once in a while. You know, if I'm having a day where I need it just me, well, then, you know, I'll go through it and pray it for me. But, you know, and it's not just, you know, you can make it just blah, 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 blah. But if you take the time and just meditate and just think through it and focus on the words, it just begins to open up and change, begins to manifest what you're praying. Amen. I can tell you that from experience. Okay, so let's go back then. I pray to you, the Father of glory, that you may grant us a spirit of wisdom and insight into mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of you. Okay, so let's look at this. Grant us a spirit of wisdom and insight. And one of the things I found as I went through these verses, you know, wisdom is, in general, it's the knowing the how to practically apply knowledge is general what wisdom means. And, you know, and knowledge means, you know, information, basically. But as I went through this and looked up this in multiple times, you'll see wisdom, knowledge, and understanding as we go through these verses. And there are variations. It does not mean the same thing in every one. So that's why we're going to go through and I'm going to share with you some of this so you can, you know, as I said, begin to grasp what exactly, you know, Paul is talking about here and what exactly these verses mean to us when we tap into them. So the spirit of wisdom, one of the things I want you to see is it's a spirit of wisdom. It's a spirit of revelation. So it's more than just wisdom. And I don't pretend to understand all of it, what it means. But you think about the spirit of wisdom and what can this mean? Well, you know, if you read in Proverbs and you read about, you know, wisdom and there's that one, I forget which chapter it's in, but it talks about wisdom and wisdom becomes a person. It's like wisdom is talking as a person, as a being. So is there an actual spirit of wisdom in heaven? I don't know. Or is this talking about Jesus? Because we know Jesus has been made unto us wisdom. Is it talking about the Holy Spirit? Is it talking about God? I don't know, but I do know it's more than just wisdom. There's more. There's something more that we're asking for. There's something more that is available to us. We are made in the image of God. The Word of God tells us we are made in His image. So that means there's a whole lot more. We have not even scratched the surface of what is possible for us as children of God. And so that's one of the things that I want you to, the reasons why I want you to start praying this if you're not already, is because what we're praying here, it's opening us up to who we are actually in Christ. Opening us up to the magnitude, the power, the glory that is actually who we are, and we just don't have a clue on how to tap into it, okay? And I don't have to understand it. I don't have to figure it out. But as I pray this, God takes care of it. God opens my eyes. God, you know, it starts manifesting these things within me. Okay, so the spirit of wisdom and insight. That word wisdom here means broad and full intelligence. Now you think, well, that, yeah. But when you think about full intelligence, in other words, I'm not limited to just my educational level. I'm not limited to my not ego, what is it? What's your smart? What's that word? IQ. Yeah, I am not limited to my IQ. I am not limited to my ability to learn, you know, if I was a lousy student in school, if I have trouble picking up new things. I am not limited to that when we're talking here. Full intelligence. Everything that is God is available to me. Everything that is God is available to me. That's what he has available to me. So that's the wisdom we're talking about when we're asking that he would grant us a spirit of wisdom and insight. In King James, that word is revelation. Here is insight. And that word is disclosing what and how great are the benefits of salvation. That's another thing. None of us are experiencing the full benefits of salvation. We may have been born again. I've been born again, between 55, 60 years, somewhere in that range. And I know I'm not experiencing the full benefits of salvation. So I could say none of us are experiencing the full benefits, just the full benefits of salvation, not this extra stuff, not this wisdom, this intelligence that is we don't have a clue, that science is exploring. Science is bringing to the surface now, you know, quantum physics and energy fields and the role of the magnetic fields and everything. You know, science is starting to bring this. We already have access to this. God made all these. God made all these laws. God designed it. And you know, there's all these things that we don't have, we have access to it, but we have not been going after. We have not been going after tapping into what belongs to us. And like I said, some of it is just salvation, just the blessings of salvation. Okay. Intimate knowledge of you. This word, knowledge is of God. Especially the knowledge of his holy will and of the blessings which he has bestowed and constantly bestows on men through Christ. One of the things that you see in these verses is that God is good. We sang that this morning. And it just reinforces, you know, that people, you know, Christians, you know, the people that say that, you know, God does it, you know, God causes this in your life and God teaches you things and all that kind of thing. You don't read the scriptures. You don't study out the scriptures because you cannot know everything that the word says unless you study it out, unless you look and read below the surface, unless you go deeper than just reading old King James. Because you're not going to grasp it. You're not going to understand it. Man used different translations. You know, there's the Greek, you know, in the New Testament. There's the Greek. So you, if you have an understanding of Greek, if you understand how to study Greek, which I do not, that's one of the reasons. Oh, I miss Wayne. Because he understood how to look at verb tenses and all this stuff, and I don't. And so that can take you to another level. And then in the Old Testament is Hebrew. But you know what? And then there's actually, is Aramaic? That is the language that's below those two. So until you go, you know, in like the Hebrew, you know, each letter means multiple things, and it's just, there's just the magnitude of, we don't have a clue. So I don't know how to study this. I don't know how to do this. What can I do? What do I do? I'm limited. No, we're not, because we can pray this prayer in God. God in us, God, can open our eyes to things that are just, you know, beyond what human understanding, beyond what anybody figures out. That's what's available to us. Amen. Just by praying this prayer. Praise God. Okay, by having the eyes of our hearts flooded with light. You know, a word in the other one is understanding. Heart. This is, we're talking about the mind as a faculty of understanding, feeling, and desire. You know, your mind is not your brain. Your mind is part of your heart. Your mind is in here. Your mind is not up here. You know, the brain is a processor. It's just a physical thing that does it, but it just deals with data. But that's not your mind. You do not think with your brain. The mind, what is the mind? What is the mind, what's the mind part of? Okay. Soul. The soul is made up of the mind, the will, the emotions. And then the soul is part of the heart. The heart is made up of the soul and spirit. So it's just, you know, you start thinking about this stuff, it's just amazing. But once again, you know, the verse we were talking about this morning, the eyes of your heart. That I don't want to just have information in my head. I don't want to just come to church and know things in my head. I want my life changed. I want to go to the very core of my being. That's where I want to be changed. Well, that's what this prayer is praying. The eyes of my heart be enlightened. The eyes of my heart, how does it say here? Flooded with light. Flooded with light. Praise God. Praise God. Okay.
I'm hoping I can get this across when she was talking about like kind of levels of wisdom. I'm just thinking, and this works in so many ways with God. There's like these levels, and I'm just thinking, we live in this age of so much information. It's crazy, and so like for me, especially as an analyst, anytime I want to like know more, and I start looking at it, and there's so much, and I'm thinking about say something like nutrition. Oh my gosh, if you've ever even started pursuing, there's so much information. And so a lot of that information is obvious, it's just garbage, it's just evil, it's wrong. But then there's a lot of information that really can be wisdom in a general sense, especially, I mean, obviously if it lines up with the word. But when we, like to me, I'm seeing more and more the way God works, he gives first. Whether it's love, whatever it is, he gives first, and we respond, and it's this continuum, and every time we respond, then he responds, and not just between us, but outward, too. Sorry, I'm all over the place right now. But so with this, when it comes to, like, wisdom, there's a level of wisdom. If you read the Bible, and you see a truth, and there's wisdom, it's true for everybody. But as we, like, reciprocate, as we see God, and not just come to him in a legalistic way, but really seek that intimate relationship with him, then that relationship is not like anybody else's relationship with God. And he knows us more than we can possibly understand. So there may be 6,000 supplements that are good for all these different people, but God can say to you, no, this is what you need. Because he knows this, you know, what you're missing, what you're deficient in, or just what you need to eat, or whatever. Because there's no just like one diet that fits everybody. Even though you could read and people tell you this is what you should do, but this is just so big. It just comes down to when we seek God, when we want that intimate relationship with him, not just going through the motions, not just doing things because it's in our head, but when we know him, we know his voice, then that wisdom is designed like intimately for us. Does that make sense? I thought it was awesome.
Praise God, praise God, praise God. By having the eyes of our hearts flooded with light, so we can know and basically, Shell just preached this whole thing in the shortened version, but I'm going to go through back and we're going to do it in the long version. But flooded with light so we can know an understanding. And see how many times as we go through this prayer is to know and understand. The know and understand. Because it's not just coming to church Sunday morning and hearing a sermon and say, yeah, I got it. Yeah, I know what to do. You know, you can't. You can't. We could come together every day of the week, and we still would not know and understand just because we came and got information. You know, there's the application, and there's, like Shell's talking about, there's the intimate times with God, and there's the focus, and there's all these things that come along with it. But once again, as she said, it's an individual thing. You know, I can give you principles, and I can give you tools, but until you try them out, you don't know what's going to work for you. And you try something and say, well, that didn't work. Well, the truth is still there. You still have to stay on that journey and keep after it. Okay, let's see. The hope to which you have called us. Hope, sure thing not yet come to pass. Sure, and a sure thing, an excited future is what we're talking about here. And then how rich is your glorious inheritance in us. That word rich in King James, it's riches. That word we're talking about here, the fullness, abundance, excellence in which one abounds. So we see here how rich. So what does God want for us in this prayer? God wants fullness. God wants abundance. God wants excellence. That's what's available to us. But if we never ask for it, you don't expect to get it. Don't expect to just because you come to church that you're going to experience all these blessings and everything God has for you. It ain't going to happen. We may want it to happen, but it's not going to happen. You know, we need to pursue God. And one of the things is just praying. And so I'm giving you a major tool here that if you just start praying it, you're going to start seeing the manifestation of it. You're going to start seeing the results of this. Okay. Your glorious inheritance in us. And so we can know and understand, once again, what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of your power in and for us who believe. This understanding, let's see here where I am. Heart, we did that in light. Okay. So we're talking about the, did that. Okay. Know and understand was the immeasurable. So this is expanding. This is the amplified. It's not just that we would understand, let's see, the exceeding greatness of your power. Yeah. Okay. No, it's that we would know and understand the immeasurable, the unlimited, the surpassing greatness of your power in and for us who believe. And what we see here is believe. It all comes back to believe. You know, and if you can only believe enough to actually pray the prayer, if that's where your believing is, we'll start there. You know, I still have not settled it in my, you know, we hear, you know, pray, but I haven't settled it in myself yet. Just praying for the sake of praying, or do we have to pray in faith to get results? I don't have that settled yet. I haven't come to a final conclusion. But, you know, it says in here, it says what you believe. And it says this in a couple different portions of Scripture we're going to look at, is you believe. You do it in faith. Amen. So if nothing else, if your believing level is, I'm going to pray this prayer because she told me I'm supposed to pray this prayer, if that's where your believing is, then start there. Just start somewhere. Amen? Okay. I want to read this again in the Passion Translation because, once again, it just helps us to see and understand more what we're praying here. It says, I pray that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to you the riches of the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation, to know him through your deepening intimacy with him. I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination. God uses your imagination. That's one of the things we're supposed to be using, is our imagination for the things of God. Flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling. That is the wealth of God's glorious inheritances that he finds in us, his holy ones. I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through here. And this, it, through you. And this power we're talking about here, this it's dynamis or dunamis, whichever. But what it means in these verses, and what it means to all these verses that we're talking about, the power that we're talking about is an internal power. It's a power that's working on me. It's not the power that I use to perform miracles on somebody else. It's not, you know, it's not the power that I, you know, experience outwardly, that God manifests outwardly. This power is the power of God in me, transforming me, changing me. This is the power. So this is, if you go further on with this, I don't know if it's this one or the next one we're going to go after, but if you go further on, it says that this is the power that God, when God raised Jesus from the dead, this is the kind of power we're talking about. So it's not less, yeah. No, we're talking about the life-giving, the power of God that went to hell, brought Jesus Christ raised him from the dead, brought him out of hell, raised him up to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We cannot understand that power. There's no way intellectually we can understand that power. But when we start meditating on it, when we start using our imagination to experience that power, to imagine what life would be like if we had that power flowing through us, the possibilities of our lives changing. The possibilities of what we can accomplish. The possibilities of who we can be. That's available to us. That's available to me. It's available. All you have to do is be born again. It doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter how young you are. Every kid in here can have this power be manifesting in them. It's unlimited, just up to us where we're going to tap into it. We're going to, you know, do what needs to be done. Okay, let's look at the next one. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. And then in King James, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. This portion of Scripture, we're talking about love here. So let's go back and we'll read it as what we have on the screen, I presume. So it says that you would grant us to be strengthened with might through your spirit in our inner man. This inner man, once again, we're talking about the soul. So then we're talking about the heart, because the soul is part of the heart. So what we're talking about here, it's through the inside. We're not talking about external. We're not talking about dealing with symptoms. We're not talking about dealing with external things. We're talking about internal. We're talking about the heart, the very core of our being, the root of everything. That's where we want it to be changed. That's where we want to experience all this that we're praying here, because as we do this, you know, I think maybe Dylan said it this morning, as we deal with in here, then it changes out there. You know, you want your life to change, then deal with your heart. Deal with the internal, and then it just automatically works to the outside. It's just the way it works. Praise God, praise God. Okay, through the inner man, that you may dwell in our hearts, that we being rooted and grounded in love. So let's go back here, that you may dwell in our hearts. You know, it's not, you know, we think, yeah, God loves me. Yes, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, yes, Jesus loves me. I love Jesus, Jesus loves me, yeah. That's a whole lot different than having God dwell in your heart. It's a whole lot different than experiencing the love of God in your heart. It's just amazing when you're experiencing the love of God. I'm sure some of you have. I probably all of you haven't, but it's just amazing. And the way to do it is just, you know, what we're talking about here, what we're praying here, is spending time with Him. It's using your imagination to experience His love. Using your imagination, I do this on a regular basis, where I use my imagination to imagine Jesus putting His arms around me and giving me a hug. Just holding me in His arms, you know? You know, the Word says, you know, the Word says that if you're a widow, then God's your husband. And I am becoming more and more married to God. And I make demands on Him. You're responsible to take care of me, you know? You have responsibilities here. And just, you know, His love, He's the best husband ever. He doesn't leave His underwear on the floor. He doesn't, you know... He's always there when I need Him. He's always there when I want Him. He always will listen to me. He isn't going to sit there behind the newspaper or focusing on sports, you know, but He's always there for me. But you know what? It doesn't matter whether you're male or female, whether you're married or single. It's the same. It's the same God for every one of us. It has to be. When He becomes the most important relationship in your life, that's when life begins to change. You know, we all have responsibilities, but you can just have an intimate relationship with God. I don't care what's going on in your life. You just make a decision. This is what I want. This is what I want. I'm going after this. This, and if you fall down, the Word says, you know, the righteous may fall seven times, but they keep getting back up. And as long as you keep getting back up, you keep moving forward. So much more. God has so much more for us. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. That we being rooted and grounded in love, be established. So, you know, I can teach you, you know, we can approach love from an external thing, and you know, we're supposed to walk in love, and this is, you know, how we used to look at it. You know, I need to walk in love. I've got to practice the fruit of the Spirit. You know, I've got to learn all about the fruit of the Spirit. So I've got to, and I believe in training. And I believe that, you know, you don't wait till you have arrived and then you start being nice to people. You know, it's not like all of, you know, that all of a sudden then, okay, I don't have to be walking the fruit of the Spirit until I get this love thing down. No, I'm not saying that. But I can tell you from experience, the more you experience God's love, the more your relationship, your love relationship develops with Him, the fruit of the Spirit become a natural thing. I don't have to work at being nice to people like I used to. I am not, you know, with my temperament, I am not a people person. You know this, I never have been. But I can tell you the more that my relationship with God, you know, I love you guys. And it's a God thing. I'm not this good. But, you know, there's just, my heart connects with you. It's just, I want the best for you. Amen. I want you to succeed. I want you to be happy. I want you to experience His love. Praise God. Praise God. But it's God. It's not, and that's what's so neat, because you don't have to work on it. You know, I don't have to try hard to be nice. It just happens. I can smile. You know, I'm not a natural smiler. Some of us just aren't. No comment. But I smile more because of my relationship with God. That's where it comes from. It's not that I've gotten better at this. But God, praise God, praise God, praise God. May be able to comprehend. This word comprehend is to lay hold of with the mind, to understand. So once again, it's not just a mental understanding, because as I said, going through this, it's so, you can't mentally grasp what we're actually praying here. It has to be a soul, it has to be a mind thing, it has to be, you know, a heart thing that I begin to grasp it. And this is where my comprehension, that I understand it in here. And when I begin understanding, you know, wisdom is kind of like, wisdom is the what, the who, and leaning into the how. But understanding is the why. And God tells us, you know, God tells us, you obey, period. You don't have to know, understand. We don't have to understand any of it. If the word says it, if God says it, I do it. You know, it's like, you know, I've said this before. It's like, you know, dealing with a toddler. You know, dealing with a toddler is because I said so. I don't want to. No, I said, this is what you're going to do. And if you don't overcome that, if you don't get that point with your child, because I said so, then I guarantee when they get older, you're going to have problems. Guarantee it. I've been at this too long. I guarantee it. But then because that, and that's how it is. As a child, as a young child, they don't know what to do. They don't know what's right, what's wrong. So, you know, as an adult, as mom and dad, we have a responsibility to protect them from themselves. And sometimes it's because I said so. But then as they start obeying and they start, you know, being obedient and our relationship grows with them, then they get a little older and then they start asking, you know, why, you know, and then we can start explaining, this is why I told you to do this. You know, why did, you know, don't put your hand on the stove, it's hot. Why? Psh, that's why. But us, you know, as adults, we figure, well, I need to know why. You know, I'm not going to do this unless I understand. I'm not, you know. And there's a certain temperament, a temperament that I know very well, and it's not mine, but someone else that I knew very well. That's an issue with that temperament, because they can get very stubborn until they understand. But God doesn't say, you know, when you understand, or, you know, let's have a conversation. I'll explain it all to you, and then you can decide whether you're going to listen or not or obey. It took me years to get the man to drink water. And then when he started doing it, oh, this is why. And a lot of times that's how it is with God. We obey, then the understanding comes. This is stuff that we're praying here. That's why it's by faith. Praise you, Jesus. Okay. To be able to comprehend what is the width and length and depth and height. To know your love. Through experience. This once again, I don't understand why it says it this way. It's four dimensions. And it's there's no explanation. I'm sure there is, that I don't have the study tools to know how to explain it. I've heard someone teach it years ago, you know, the fourth dimension is love. I don't know if that's true or not, because, you know, now what I'm reading in science and stuff, I'm wondering, you know, is this quantum physics in here? Because when you get into quantum physics, all the rules change. You know, physical science and quantum physics science, the rules change. It becomes a totally different world. You know, and so I don't know enough to explain it to you, but, you know, is that what we're talking about here? This is a whole different dimension. Why is there four? Because we live in a cube. We live in a three-dimensional world. But love is a four-dimensional. You know, we're tapping into a new dimension. You can't understand it. You can't explain it. The only thing we can do is experience it. Praise you, Jesus. To know your love through experience. You cannot intellectualize the love of God. That's why I said to tell someone, okay, go out and walk in love. I will be nice. That's why you have Christians, they come to Sunday morning and they're one person, and then the rest of the week they're totally different. And I won't ask for a show of hands if this applies to you. But when we experience the love, then we're the same no matter what situation we're in. Now, we all mess up, you know. We haven't arrived. But like I said before, it's easy to love people. There's a whole lot less. I am much nicer driving. That's still my weakest spot, but I'm much nicer driving than I was 5 years ago. Yeah. I have not committed a road rage incident now in years. I've confessed enough sin today. But it becomes a 24-hour-a-day thing. It becomes a 7-day-a-week thing. It's not, okay, I'm with this group, so I've got to put my face on, and I've got to act a certain way with this group, and when I come to church, you know, I've had different people over the years talk about, you know, they come to church and they feel hypocritical when they praise God, or, you know, because of how lousy they feel or whatever. It's not being hypocritical to praise God when you don't feel like it. That's who you actually are. You were made to praise God. So the hypocritical part is acting like you're not supposed to praise God. I'm living by my feelings. I'm living, you know, this is how I feel, so this is how I live. No, that's not who you are. You're a child of God. Amen. You belong to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are love. You are joy. You are peace. You are life. You are power. That's who you really are. But once again, that's what this prayer brings to the surface. That's what we're praying here, that I would experience who I actually am. That's what we're praying. Amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. That we may have the richest measure of your presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with you. This word filled means richly furnished with the power and gifts of the Holy Spirit, rooted in Christ by virtue of the intimate relationship entered into with him. That's what belongs to us. That's every, as I said, all nine gifts of the Spirit, they're in this place. It's just we're not tapped into who we need to be tapped into to have operate in us and through us. But it's all in there. All of this stuff, all of this power, all of this love, everything God is, everything Jesus paid the price for, it is in you. Are we going to let it out? And once again, as we pray this prayer, I believe it will start happening in us individually. And this says the body wholly filled and flooded. So we can look at this as two ways. We can look at the body, all of us together. And that's my desire, that this body will be wholly filled and flooded with God, that we will manifest God no matter what we're doing, no matter where we are. But it's also, you're an individual body. So it's you too. You are to manifest. I am to manifest, to be wholly filled and flooded with God. And once again, it's not an age thing, kids. All you have to do is be born again and have a relationship with God and talk to him every day. And you know, you may not be able to read all of this, but you can have a talk with mom and dad, and they can help you to speak some of these things and to pray some of these things. Don't wait until you're in your 50s before you tap into this stuff. Amen. Get a hold of it. Start doing it as soon as you can. It is life-changing. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Once again, I want to read this portion in the Passion Translation. It says, "And I pray that he would unveil within you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power." We can't grasp that. But this is what's available. You know, you need to start meditating on this stuff and think, this is what belongs to me. I don't feel like it. I have, you know, this is wrong and this is wrong and this is wrong. But this is what the Word says. You make the decision, either I believe what the Word says or I don't. You believe either God is good or he isn't. That's stage one. If you don't believe that God is good, then you're going to have a hard time believing that this prayer actually belongs to you. So you've got to start there. Well, how do I do that? Well, you need to renew your mind. You need to get with God and you need to talk to him, and you need, not with people, but you get along with God and you dump it all on him. Now, if you're a writer, you can do it journaling, or you just get along with God and you tell him how rotten life is and you don't think it's fair and you think he let you down, and you just dump it all out there. And then you wait and let him start speaking back to you. And you know what? You will find out that you have been totally wrong. He's been there all the time. And you don't have control of everything that happens. And you don't have control of other people. And you don't know what's in anybody's heart but your own. And sometimes we don't even know what's in our heart. That's why the Word tells us, don't even judge yourself. It's up to God. God is the only judge. God is the only one that can decide why people do what they do. You know, go back and read the Psalms. So many of the Psalms, David starts out with, oh God, this is wrong, and this is wrong, and get my enemies, and do this, and do this. And then you get to the end of the Psalm, oh God, I love you. Oh God, I love you. Oh God, you're phenomenal. You're wonderful. Because you spend time with him, and he opens the eyes of your understanding. He opens the eyes of your heart, and you see him. And you see how stupid and self-righteous and selfish that you are, and how wonderful he is, and how much he loves you. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. How do I know this? Because I've been there more than once. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. Then you will be empowered to discover what every Holy One experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love. How enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measurement. That transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. Don't you want that in your life? It's available. It belongs to you. This uncomprehendable love. It's just phenomenal love. That's why we don't have the right to sit in judgment. I don't care, you know, what people in the world are doing. I don't care what's going on. Our focus is to be on God. Because then as we focus on God, as we focus on our relationship with him, then our love increases. And then we will know how to actually reach people instead of sitting in judgment of everybody else. We will know how to actually reach their hearts, how to actually, you know, help them and get them to change through God. Instead of sitting in self-righteous judgment because someone doesn't line up to what my view of the Word is. And that's a whole lot of the church is like that. I have been there myself, but I am doing my best not to be there anymore. Next one, Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 to 11. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. And this one, once again, this version that we use in the prayer is in the Amplified. And once again, there's a little bit of paraphrasing along with it because to personalize it. And so we see, I ask that we may be filled with the deep and clear knowledge of your will, This word knowledge here is the greater participation by the knower in the object known, thus more powerfully influencing him. In other words, once again, it's a relationship thing. The more I know God, the more that my life is changed to line up more to, you know, who he is and who I am in him. Okay, and then let's see the next one. Knowledge of your will. This word will is the purpose of God to bless mankind through Christ. Once again, God is good. And all this prayer, every time you see anything about the will of God, is talking about God wants to bless people. God sent Jesus to bless people. God wants to help people. God never is going to take away from anyone. He doesn't subtract, he doesn't divide. He always adds and multiplies. And we have to establish that once again in our heart. Let's see here. Where am I? It's in knowledge of your will in all spiritual wisdom. Let's see here. In comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of you. And in understanding. Once again, wisdom, understanding, knowledge. These same words keep coming through over and over again. And understanding and discernment of spiritual things. That we may live and conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of you, fully pleasing to you and desiring to please you in all things. That's something you have to ask yourself. Do you actually want to live your life pleasing to God? That's what we have to ask. Do I actually want to? And if you're not at a place where, you know, you're not willing to give up the things that are contrary to God, well, once again, don't throw it in and say, forget it. Pray the prayer. Because God works from the inside out. And when God says it's time to give up whatever, he may not even have to ask you to give up. It just may happen. But when we're lined up from the inside out, then those things just fall away. It's not that I have to try. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I know I messed up, and I know I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I did it. You know, why bother? It's not worth it. You know, I keep trying and it just keeps screwing up. Why even bother? But when I experience the love of God, when I begin to experience how much God loves me, then, you know, it's there. The love of God. And then we get to the point, you know, I want to please God. I don't need that anymore. I have God. I have this relationship with this most phenomenal person, phenomenal being, and I just want to spend more time with him. And it's not, you know, I've said this before. I'm not talking about, you know, that you have to go and set aside 4 hours a day to just spend time, you know, just spend time in prayer and reading the Bible. You know, that's what I'm talking about. No, I'm talking about, as I've said it before, every thought. It's just a thought at a time. It's an action at a time. It's a word at a time. Just one thought at a time. Turn towards God instead of turning towards whatever else. And it becomes a 24-hour-a-day thing. Yes, you should set time alone with God every day. I am a firm believer, because to move in this, to keep developing in this, you have to do that. But if where you're at right now is you just catch yourself, oh, I shouldn't be thinking that. That's not God. I put that off. That doesn't belong to me. I refuse to worry. I refuse to have anxiety. This anxiety doesn't belong to me. This pain, whatever it may be, physical pain, emotional pain, this is not mine. Jesus paid the price. I don't have to live with this. This doesn't belong to me. This grief, this discouragement, this depression, whatever it may be, this is not mine. I don't have to have it. Jesus paid the price for it. It doesn't belong to me. I don't want it. I don't want it. Get away from me. I send you away. I put you off. I don't want it. It's that simple. It's that simple. Now, you may have to do it multiple times, but it's that simple. Because as soon as you draw near to God, he's there. And then we take the next one. Oh, I put on. You know, I am love. Because Christ in me. Christ is in me. I am in Christ. Christ is in me. So that means I am everything that God is. I am everything that Jesus is. So I am love. I don't feel like love. I can't believe that I'm love. No, I am love. Not because I feel like it, Not because I understand it, not because I can explain it to someone else, but simply because Christ is in me, because I'm a child of the Most High God. So love is in me. I am love. That means I am patient. I am kind. Once again, that little card I gave you is another tool for you to use. I use it every day. I go over it every day. I make those, speak those every day, and then I can check myself out. Am I lining up with that? And the more I do it, the more I see myself lining up with that. This is who I am. I am full of peace. Why? I don't feel like I have peace. You know, I'm worried about this and this, and this is wrong, and this is wrong. No, Jesus said he has been made peace in me. I have peace. I put off anything that's contrary to that. I put on peace. It belongs to me. That's the kind of work you have to do. Making a whole lot of decisions. But it's not hard. It's only hard in making the decision to do it. One thought at a time. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Let's see. Understanding the sermon spiritually, we may live and conduct a manner of work. Yeah, pleasing to you, desiring to please you in all things. Bearing fruit, because that's what we want to get to. We want to bear fruit. We want to have people on the outside. You know, judging is deciding why people do something, and we're not to judge. We can only decide what someone is like by their fruit. I only know you according to your fruit. You only know me according to my fruit. In other words, how I act, how I speak, how I respond. That's how you know me. That's how I know you. So you can't expect someone to, you know, someone, if you have a problem with someone or someone has a problem with you, and you can't say, well, I know they have a good heart. You know what? We don't have the right to decide whether someone's heart is good or bad. We don't have the right to decide why someone does it, whether it's good or bad. I can only go by the fruit. We can only go by the fruit. And that's why it says here, bearing fruit of God. The people would see and experience us as being children of the Most High God. Bearing fruit in every good work and steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of you. This word knowledge is knowledge of his holy will and of the blessings which he has bestowed and constantly bestows on men through Christ. Once again, God is good. That's all he wants for us is good. Knowledge of you with fuller, deeper, and clearer insight, acquaintance, and recognition. I pray that we may be invigorated and strengthened with all power according to the might of your glory to exercise every kind of endurance, perseverance, and forbearance with joy. Now, the translation says patience. So we see here endurance. I can do it. I don't care what's going on. You know, one of the confessions of love is I bear up under anything and everything. I can do it. Perseverance. I'm going to keep at it. I don't quit. That's part of who we are. And forbearance. I can put up with people. I can choose not to be offended. I can, you know, whatever, but I can handle people. That's just what we're talking about. And it's not just going through, you know, life is hard, life is awful. No, it says with joy. You know, we can do all this with joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength, okay? Okay, the last one, Philippians, nope, not the last one. Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Christ Jesus, to the glory and praise of God. And the version that I have on the prayer is the New Living Bible. I pray that our love for each other will overflow more and more, and that we will keep on growing in our knowledge and understanding. That word overflow is to increase in excellence, that we get better on loving each other. You know, we get better at it, that we improve in our love towards each other. And we will keep on growing in our knowledge, precise and correct knowledge. In other words, not natural knowledge, not religious knowledge, not the knowledge that we think, you know, scriptural, I'm talking about scriptural knowledge, but we will see, we will understand, we will know what God actually means, you know, what Jesus actually did for us. And we will see things that God is good. God is love. It's, you know, God isn't going to take away from me. God isn't going to bring problems in my life. God isn't going to cause things to go wrong in my life. No, if it's good, if it's God. If it's not, it's not God. But to know things as the correct knowledge, the correct way of looking at things. For I want us to understand what really matters, so that we may live pure and blameless lives until you return. This word blameless, we're talking about offense. You know, I want to live my life so that I am not offended. You know, that I don't take offense when someone says something that, you know, crosses that I don't agree with, or someone goes to, you know, says something to hurt me or does something to hurt me. I don't have to be, you know, offenses will come. The Word of God tells us that. Offenses will come. But the more that my relationship with God grows, the more my intimate, my love relationship with God grows, the more things that are offensive, that used to offend me, it just like, they just, you know, I don't even notice them. You know, the people, whether they want to offend me or not, it's like, it just doesn't connect. It just, it's like you develop that Teflon shield, you know. But that's what belongs to us. That's the prayer that we're praying, that we can live like that. May we always be filled with the fruits of righteousness. Those good things that are produced in our lives by Jesus Christ. One, two things I want you to notice, Jesus is the one that does them. Jesus produces them. It's not that I have to make it happen. It's not that I have to work for it to happen. But this fruits of righteousness we're talking about, that word righteousness, integrity, correctness in thinking, feeling, and acting, life as it should be. You know, Jesus has a life that he paid the price for that belongs to us. And that's the life that we have the availability of living. That's what we're looking for, the fruits of righteousness, the fruits of life as it should be. Okay, and then the last one, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 to 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Once again, the version that I have is, now may you make us complete in every good work to do your will, working in us what is well-pleasing in your sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That word complete or perfect, make one as they ought to be. Once again, that word righteousness. That we're asking God, make us as I ought to be. That I would experience life as you wanted me to experience life. That is what is available to us. And then it says here, you will, working in us. You carry it out. Carry it out. Execute it. I can't do it. You can't do it. The Word tells us without Jesus, we can't do anything. But in Christ, we're unconquerable. In Christ, we are victorious. In Christ, we can do it all. We can handle anything. And the times that we live, the times that can be ahead of us. Some people believe that, you know, things are really going to go downhill. I don't know whether things are really going to go downhill or whether things are going to improve. The likelihood is things are going to go downhill. That's why we need to get a hold of this. Because if things are bad enough now, but if things continue to get worse out there, you need that relationship with God. You need that intimate relationship with God. You need to have the availability of the wisdom of God, the understanding. You need that to just live. We are going to need that. So start now. When life is, believe it or not, life is relatively easy. Start now developing this. Start now. If you don't have this prayer, you know, that you don't have a copy of it, then check with me and we'll get more copies made. I don't know if there's any out there or not. Is there any? There is a few left. So you can see Tom if you don't have one. But I encourage you to start praying this prayer. At the most, it's going to take you 5 minutes. But what I do is just go through it and slowly read it. And every day, different phrases hit me. And different parts hit me. But I can see it's changing my life. And as I said, I can see it starting to change the congregation. Now, it's drawing us closer to God. And that's what it's all about. Amen? Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Let's spend some time with Him.